You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Day 16. We're continuing in the book of Genesis. Remember, several chapters ago, Jacob played a mean trick on his brother Esau, and Esau swore that he would kill Jacob the next time he saw him. Well, in chapters 32 and 33, Jacob is going to reunite with Esau, and he's not sure if Esau has the same mind to kill him or not. So Jacob does all he can to make Esau feel at ease by offering riches and property and his servitude. But the interesting thing is, even if all is said and done, and Esau even forgives Jacob, Jacob still pulls a trick on his brother. I guess old habits die hard. We're also continuing in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. And here we have Jesus preaching to the people, really attacking the Pharisees head on. But more than that, Jesus is now claiming that his power comes from the Lord, that he is more than just a human. And he also talks about a sin that can never be forgiven. And if you don't know what that sin is, you might want to stay with us to find out. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry, and you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob prepares to meet Esau. Jacob also left, and on his way back home, angels of God came to meet him. When he saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So Jacob named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers to his brother Esau, who was living in the area called Seir, in the hill country of Edom. He ordered them to give this message to Esau.
"Greetings, my master, from your servant Jacob. I have been staying in Laban's home and have waited until now to contact you. I have done well. I now have plenty of cattle, donkeys, flocks, and male and female slaves. I send you this message, hoping that you will welcome me home."
When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said,
"We went to your brother Esau. He is coming to meet you and his 400 men with him."
This news frightened Jacob. He was so upset that he divided his people and all the flocks, herds, and camels into two groups. He thought,
"If Esau comes and destroys one group, maybe the other group can escape."
Then Jacob said,
"Lord, you are the God my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac worshipped. You told me to return to my country and to my family. You said, I will be good to you. I know I don't deserve all the good things you've done for me. You've been very kind to me. The first time I traveled across the Jordan River, I had nothing but my walking stick. But now I have these two large groups of people and animals. Please save me from my brother Esau. I am afraid he will come and kill us all, even the mothers with the children. Lord, you told me, I will make everything go well for you. You will have so many descendants that they will be like the grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count."
Jacob stayed there that night and prepared a gift for Esau from what he had with him: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 female sheep and 20 rams, 30 camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put one of his servants in charge of each herd of animals. Then he said to them,
"Go ahead of me and keep some space between each herd."
Jacob gave them their orders. To the servant with the first group of animals, he said,
"When my brother Esau meets you, he will ask, 'Whose servant are you? And whose animals are these? And where are you going?' You should answer. These animals belong to your servant Jacob, who is coming behind us. He sent them as a gift to his master Esau.
Jacob also ordered the servants in charge of the second, third, and other herds to follow, to say the same thing to Esau when they met him. Jacob told them to be sure and say,
"Your servant Jacob is coming behind us."
And Jacob thought,
"Maybe these gifts I am sending ahead will soften Esau's anger. Then when I see him, maybe he will welcome me."
So Jacob sent the gifts to Esau, but he stayed in the camp that night. During the night, Jacob got up and crossed the Jabbok River with his two wives, his two slave women, and his 11 sons. After he sent his family across the river, he sent everything he had across. Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob was left alone, and a man came and wrestled with him until almost sunrise. When the man saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he struck Jacob's hip and put it out of joint. Then he said to Jacob,
"Let me go. The sun is coming up."
But Jacob said,
"I will not let you go until you give me a blessing."
So the man asked him,
"What is your name?"
And he answered,
"My name is Jacob."
The man said,
"Your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will now be Israel. I give you this name because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won."
Then Jacob asked him,
"Please, tell me your name."
The man said,
"Why do you ask my name?"
And he gave Jacob a blessing there. So Jacob named that place Peniel. He said,
"Here I saw God face to face, but my life was spared."
Then the sun came up as Jacob left Peniel. He was limping because of his hurt hip. So even today, when the people of Israel eat meat, they don't eat the muscle on the hip joint, because this is where Jacob was struck. Genesis chapter 33. Jacob meets Esau. Jacob looked and saw Esau coming with 400 men. Jacob divided his family into four groups, led by Leah, Rachel, and his two slave women. Jacob put the slave women and their children in front. Then he put Leah and her children behind them, and Rachel and Joseph behind them. Jacob himself went in front of them all. As he walked towards his brother, he bowed down to the ground 7 times. But when Esau saw Jacob, he ran to meet him. He put his arms around Jacob, hugged him, and kissed him. Then they both cried. Esau looked up and saw the women and children. He said,
"Who are all these people with you?"
Jacob answered,
"These are the children God has given me. God has been good to me, your servant."
The two slave women and their children came and bowed down to the ground before Esau. Then Leah and her children came and bowed down before him. Finally, Rachel and Joseph came and bowed down before him. Esau said,
"I met a group with herds of animals on my way here. What were all those animals for?"
Jacob answered,
"I sent those hoping that you might welcome me."
But Esau said,
"I already have plenty, my brother. You should keep what you have."
Jacob said,
"No, please. If you are glad to see me, please accept these gifts. When you gave me such a friendly welcome, seeing your face was like seeing the face of God. So I beg you to accept these gifts. God has been very good to me. I have more than I need."
Because Jacob begged him, Esau accepted the gifts. Then Esau said,
"Now, let's be on our way. I will go with you."
But Jacob said,
"My master, You know how difficult it is for young children to travel. And I have to be careful with my flocks and their young ones. If I force them to walk too far in one day, they will all die. So you go on ahead, and I will come more slowly. I will let the animals and children travel at a speed that will be safe for them. I will meet you in Seir,
Esau said.
Then I will leave some of my men to help you.
But Jacob said,
You don't have to do that, my master. All I wanted was for you to welcome me.
So that day, Esau started on his trip back to Seir, but Jacob went to Succoth. There he built a house for himself and shelters for his cattle. That is why the place was named Succoth. Jacob ended his journey from Mesopotamia when he arrived safely at the town of Shechem in Canaan. He set up his camp outside the town. The land where he camped was owned by the family of Hamor, father of Shechem. He paid them 100 pieces of silver for the part where he settled. He built an altar there and named it The God of Israel is God. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 45. Jesus' power is from God. Then some people brought a man to Jesus. This man was blind and could not talk because he had a demon inside him. Jesus healed the man, and he could talk and see. All the people were amazed at what Jesus did, and they said,
Maybe he is the promised son of David.
When the Pharisees heard this, they said,
Satan, the ruler of demons, is the one giving this man the power to force demons out of people.
Jesus knew what the Pharisees were thinking, so he said to them, Every kingdom that fights against itself will be destroyed, and every city or family that is divided against itself will not survive. So, if Satan forces out his own demons, then he is fighting against himself. And his kingdom will not survive. You say that I use the power of Satan to force out demons. If that is true, then what power do your people use when they force out demons? So your own people will prove that you are wrong. But I use the power of God's Spirit to force out demons. And this shows that God's kingdom has already come to you. Only someone who is stronger then the strong man can enter his house and steal his things. You have to be able to tie him up before you can rob his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. Anyone who does not work with me is working against me. So I tell you, people can be forgiven for every sinful thing they do and for every bad thing they say against God. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. You can even speak against the Son of Man and be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Not now or in the future. If you want good fruit, you must make the tree good. If your tree is not good, it will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it produces. You snakes, you are so evil. How can you say anything good? What people say with their mouths comes from what fills their hearts. Those who are good have good things saved in their hearts. That's why they say good things. But those who are evil have hearts full of evil, and that's why they say things that are evil. And I tell you, that everyone will have to answer for all the careless things they have said. This will happen on the day of judgment. Your words will be used to judge you. What you have said will show whether you are right or whether you are guilty. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law answered Jesus. They said,
Teacher, we want to see you do a miracle as a sign from God.
Jesus answered, You people who live today are evil and unfaithful to God. That's why you have to see a miracle before you will believe. But no miracle will be done to prove anything to you. The only sign you will get will be what happened to the prophet Jonah. Jonah was in the stomach of the big fish for 3 days and nights. In the same way, the Son of Man will be in the grave 3 days and nights. On Judgment Day, you people who live now will be compared with the people of Nineveh, and they will be witnesses who show how guilty you are. Why do I say this? Because when Jonah preached to those people, they changed their lives. And you are listening to someone greater than Jonah, but you refuse to change. On the Judgment Day, you people who live now will also be compared with the Queen of the South, and she will be a witness who shows how guilty you are. I say this because she traveled from far, far away to listen to Solomon's wise teaching. And I tell you that someone greater than Solomon is right here. But you won't listen to me. When an evil spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry places, looking for a place to rest, but it finds none. So it says, I will go back to the home I left. And when it comes back, it finds that home still empty. It is all neat and clean. Then the evil spirit goes out and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. They all go and live there, and that person has even more trouble than before. It is the same way with the evil people who live today. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Seek wisdom.
My son, pay attention to what I say. Remember my commands. Listen to wisdom and do your best to understand. Ask for good judgment. Cry out for understanding. Look for wisdom like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to respect the Lord, and you will come to know God. The Lord is the source of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Come from his mouth. He helps good people think clearly and is a shield for those who live as they should. He protects those who are fair to others, and he watches over his faithful people. If you listen to him, you will understand what is just and fair and how to do what is right. You will gain wisdom, and knowledge will bring you joy. Planning ahead will protect you, and understanding will guard you.
Thank you, everyone. That was day 16. Join us for day 17. If you remember, Leah and Jacob had many sons, but they had one and only daughter. But when she goes out to visit some other women, she gets raped by Shechem. But Shechem says he loves her and tries to marry her. And in the New Testament, Jesus defines who truly are his mother, brothers, and family. And he tells a story of one of the first parables that we're going to hear in the book of Matthew, about a farmer who sows seed on a path. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.